Lord, you're here. So we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Father, for each person that is gathered here today. We declare that we have ears open, a heart prepared to hear specific words that are in need for my life and your life. And I thank you, Father, that you just shine big, bright lights as we speak your word this morning, Father, so we can go and live the mission you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we wrapped up a series on worship. I just had a great time learning more about worship. So I felt like I learned more than you did. I don't know. But I'm going to change directions. And today we're going to talk about food. You guys. No, I did not see what you ate on Thursday. And no, don't tell everybody what I ate or how many plates of food. But we're going to talk about food. And it's really interesting. If you were to do a word search and like, hey, Google, how many times is the word food or things that have to do with food in the Bible, there's 1,800 scriptures references. So the Bible has a lot to say about food. So do I. But the Bible has a lot to say about food. And also when you look at Jesus' life, you know, he was kind of known for eating. He'd go to different people's houses and eat. He was kind of known for hanging out around food. Go, Jesus. Man after my own heart. And though it's really interesting, you can jot this down. They're not going to put it up. But Luke 7:34, it says, the Son of Man, and that refers to Jesus. The Son of Man came to this earth eating and drinking. And then, so that's what says he's doing. And then people would accuse him of eating too much, drinking too much, and hanging out with the wrong people. Like, you can't win. But food is mentioned in the Bible, and we're going to talk about that. And the Bible also says that man, woman, should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So we're going to dig into the word. Tell your neighbor, we're going to eat. Let's go. Okay, we're going to eat. Here we go. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 39. Luke chapter 7, verse 39. But let me give you a little background about Luke chapter 7. This is about a man. His name is Simon. Some translations call him Simeon. I don't care, whatever you want to call him. But he's not just a guy. He's actually a Pharisee. A Pharisee is a religious leader. So if he's a Pharisee, he knows the word of God. He knows all the laws. He knows all the rules. So there's this guy, Simon, who's a Pharisee that knows all of this. Now, the really interesting thing about the Pharisees is they just were not real friendly to Jesus. Did you ever notice that when you read? They were not real friendly to Jesus. And yet, this Pharisee, Simon, invites Jesus over for dinner. He invites him over for dinner, and Jesus accepts the invitation. So I was thinking about that. If I know you're not really nice to me, I don't know if I'm going. I was like, go, Jesus, better than me. So a Pharisee invites Jesus over for dinner, and Jesus goes. Okay, point number one. Point number two, in the neighborhood where Simon lives is a sinful woman. All right. Now, the Bible doesn't say what her sinfulness is. A lot of people say, oh, it must have been a prostitute. But there's nowhere that says it. So everybody go, sinful woman. Come on, have fun with me. All right. Yeah. All right. So in the neighborhood is this sinful woman. All righty. And she hears that Jesus is going to the Pharisee's house, and she goes there. She goes to the house, and she goes there. Actually, listen to this. She's a party crasher. Yeah, she wasn't invited. She crashes the party, and she sits down, and she kind of causes this big stir. She sits down behind Jesus by his feet, and she starts crying and weeping, and her tears, the Bible says, fell at Jesus' feet. She's washing him with her tears, and then she takes her hair, and she's drying his feet, and then she breaks this bottle of expensive perfume and pours it all over Jesus. Talk about create a scene. How many of you have ever had one of your lovely, wonderful children create a scene at the checkout counter? A Okay, that was nothing compared to what just happened. She created this huge scene, all righty? And the thing is, she's not supposed to be there. She's a party crasher. She's creating a scene, and she's not supposed to be there, all right? And it creates this big stir. By the way, Jesus is invited. Simon, obviously, it's his house, but he has other friends. And guess who you think his friends are? Pharisees, okay, the boys, all right? So she creates this big scene, and everybody sees it. You could say it's quite scandalous, all righty? And people are watching a woman, scandalous, a woman who has, in her life, has experienced pain and guilt and shame because of her sin, right? The scandalous woman, all right? And she comes in, and out of a heart of gratitude, just explodes with hospitality to Jesus that, like, over the top of what they would have done in that day. All righty. Now, if I were to come to your house, you invited me for dinner, how many of you would give me a hug? How many of you would be like, hey, Pastor, I'm finally you're here. Okay. All right. So in our day, in our culture, we're like, oh, hug. And you know me, I'm getting good at this, you know. But in their day, what she did was really kind of the norm, but she took it to the highest degree to show her gratitude. This scandalous woman, all righty? So turn over to, this is where we're going to pick up our story, Luke 7:39. By the way, Simon sees this. Of course, I'm giving the dinner party. Who is she? I just watched her do all this. Simon sees this, all right? Simon sees this. Here we go. Verse 39. When Simon saw what was happening, he thought, this man, referring to Jesus, can't be a prophet. If he were really a prophet, he would know what kind of sinful woman's touching him. Jesus said, Simon, I have a word for you. Jesus read his mail, right? And he says, go ahead, teacher. I want to hear what you have to say, he answered. Verse 41, it's a story about two men who were deeply in debt. Everybody say debt. Don't raise your hand if you're in debt. I was going to say that, but no. Okay, so they were deeply in debt. One owed the bank $100,000, and the other only owed $10,000. Verse 42, when it was obvious that neither one of them would be able to repay their what? Debts. The kind banker graciously wrote off the debts and forgave them all that they owned. Tell me, Simeon, which of the two debtors would be more thankful? Which one would love the banker most? Okay, verse 43. Simon answered, and it's almost like lights go off in his mind. He answered and he says, well, I suppose the one with the greatest debt forgiven. You're right, answered Jesus. All righty. Back to the woman. This woman has pain in her life, yeah? She's got a lot of pain going on in her life. Everybody say pain. I don't know if you've noticed in the world that we live in, I run into people and they got a lot of pain. People are in pain. Life is painful for them, all righty? And so it's interesting. She's in pain, and yet she does all of this to Jesus. And Simon sees what she's doing, and he actually sees it, and he judges. Now, none of us judge people, right? Hands down. Okay, but Simon the Pharisee sees what this woman does, what type of woman she is, and what she does, and he judges the snot out of her, right? And but it's interesting, after Jesus explains why this woman is doing this, he changes his perspective. He changes his perspective, all right? So jump down to verse 50, ready? Verse 50, then Jesus said to the woman, your faith in me has given you life, or your faith in me has saved you. Now you may live and walk in the ways of peace. Everybody say peace. Thanksgiving morning, I needed peace. Oven wasn't working. I'm supposed to cook the turkey. And that was just hilarious, really. But, you know, on any good day that you are running into your boss, you're going home with your spouse, you got kids, you've got neighbors. Yeah, anybody need some peace? Some days I just really need a double dose of peace. And this world is crazy. It is chaotic. And I'm telling you, I need peace. Anybody else need peace? Okay. So jumping back to this story, how many of you have heard this story before? Yep. I've actually preached this. I've actually listened to a bunch of preachers preach this. Okay. And it focuses on God's grace, God's forgiveness of sins. That's what it focuses on. It's really true. But this last couple of weeks when I was reading this, it's almost like, oh, I never saw that before. So I would like to share with you my, I never saw that before. I want to give you a different perspective on this, okay? So the story has to do with three characters. We've got what? The Pharisee. We got the woman, sinful woman, and we have Jesus. Okay, the Pharisee's like, oh, I got my life all together. You know, I know the law. I actually follow the laws. And you guys, I'm better than you. That's the Pharisee, right? That's kind of their attitude. All right, then we've got the sinful woman. Now, she knows she's a sinful woman, right? Because and she's got pain in her life and grief, and she knows and she expresses this. So we've got Simon and we've got the sinful woman, all right? And when you think about it, they are two very different people, all right? They come from two very different walks of life, and they have two very different perspectives just by reading that story. Alrighty, and then the third person, so we've got the Pharisee, we've got the sinful woman, and then we have Jesus. And Jesus is thrown in the middle of this interaction. Have you ever been thrown in the middle of two different people on this and this? Right? So he is in the middle of this and this. He's in the middle of it. And he basically tells them, I came here for both of you. You're both a bunch of sinners. Okay, so here we have Jesus in the middle of this interaction, and he says, I came here for both of you. Everybody say both of you. Tell your neighbor he came for you too. He did, all right? Now, Jesus goes and changes their perspective. He changes her perspective on how she sees herself, and he changes the Pharisee's perspective on how he sees this woman. So everybody say, change your perspective. So her perspective is changed, and his perspective is changed on how he sees the grace and the forgiveness. And that's what happens in the story. And it all happened with food. Everybody say food. It happened at a meal. It happened at dinner. So we're going to talk about this, all righty? We're going to talk about what happens when you get together with food. Break bread together. Get together with food, all right? So if you're taking notes, write this down. We were not designed for isolation. We were not designed for that. We were actually created and wired for connection. That's the way God made us, to be wired with connection, okay? And I know this, you know this, and you know, how many of you people know you need people in your life? There's some days I don't want you ringing my doorbell, but on a regular day, I need people in my life, all right? I need people in my life. And one of the best ways to experience connection, people in your life, is to break bread together, have a meal together. It's just kind of the connection point. How many of you had connection on Thursday with a meal? Some of you told me you had your meal a couple days later, all righty? So the best way or one of the ways that we can have this connection is over a meal. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about food science. I'm going to get a little food geeky on you. Ready? Here we go. All over the world, one of the major staples that you'll find all over the world is rice and beans. Okay? Everybody say rice and beans. All right? All over the world, you'll find some form of rice and beans. Africa, they got their own version of rice and beans. Europe has their own flavor of rice and beans. Caribbean, rice and beans. And definitely the Latin countries, right? They know rice and beans really good, all righty? To think I only grew up with white rice. So it has just been really fun to see rice and beans all over the world, okay? Now, let me tell you a bit about rice. Rice is a carbohydrate. How many people already knew that? Rice is a carbohydrate, and that's good. And one of the good things about carbohydrate, it will give you energy and it will fill you. So that's good. Beans is a fiber, and that's good. All right? So, but you put the two of them in a meal on your plate, and something unique happens. How many of you know what happens? It becomes a complete protein. You put rice and beans together on a plate, it becomes a complete protein. All righty? And the protein actually makes you stronger. It also is makes it complete with these 9 amino acids, and I'm not even sure what that is, but I researched that, all right? But basically, you put them together, and they're good for your body, all right? So rice is good, it's okay, and beans are good, but you put the two of them together, and it's good. It makes you strong. It actually makes you better, all righty? Now, what does that have to do? How many of you are believers and follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord. All of you that raise your hand, praise the Lord. So if you're a believer and you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what he does? He takes your uniqueness. He takes your individuality. He takes your quirks. He takes your experiences. And then he takes them and puts them with somebody else. And their uniqueness and their quirkiness and their individuality and their experiences. He puts you together. And do you know why he does that? He brings us together to make us better and stronger. Better and stronger, all right? So if I had to say what the main thought of our message, the main idea is, together we're better. So one thing I want you to walk out of here understanding, and a lot of you already know that. You know the power and the strength of being connected with other believers, and you're doing it. And some of you know it. And you're not doing it. And other of you are looking at me like a dog to new pan. You've never even heard of this. So stay with me. Praise the Lord. All right. So if I were to give a title to this message, it's called Jesus Christ and Rice and Beans. Jesus Christ and Rice and Beans. You know, sometimes I just make stuff. All right. The vision at YCF is to gather, to grow, and to go. We gather to worship. And then we grow. We grow with our relationship. We grow with others. And then we go, because you're not supposed to stay here. I'm going to turn the heat down, all right? We're supposed to go into the world. But I want to talk about gathering not only to worship, but how about gathering together? So we're going to talk about gathering together over a meal. And it's really important that we gather together over a meal. Though I do recognize there's people that still can't gather. I've got about a handful of people that still can't gather, all right, because of situations, and I get it, I understand, and don't you go dare judging anybody because of that, all right? I just love them, and this past summer, Eric and Lucy Johnson, they used to be elders up here, and moved to Florida, okay? But they came up this summer, and they were telling me about the same things we experienced over the pandemic, and they still have a group of some elderly people that cannot gather. And they do a Zoom. They do a Zoom call, and they have a Bible study that's been going on because this one gentleman, he's getting some kind of treatment, and it's just where they are right now, okay? So we are supposed to gather together, and we're talking about Jesus and rice and beans. So I want to tell you something, but you got to hear this. To have really a real Bible community, a biblical community, guess what? You have to gather together with other believers. To have the real deal, not the fake thing, but the real deal, is you have to gather together with other followers, okay? And it's important. It applies to you. It applies to me. And for some of you, this is going to be the most important day that you figure this out. You got to figure this out because you've got some holes in your life. And when we start to really have a biblical community, it's when we start to gather together, all right? Now, over this past year and a half, coming up 2 years, this lovely thing called the pandemic, it just impacted people in isolation. And I said this, and I'm so glad we're recording it. I will never shut this church down again. I really don't care. It was damaging. You may have to bail me out, okay? You'll bail me out. But it just caused so many heartaches with isolation, all right? And so it is important that you get this biblical community, and not, because we are not designed for isolation. Pastor Sherry and I, during this pandemic, I'll tell you what, it was full of challenges. And I'm not talking about toilet paper, all right? Challenges. It was just challenging in this isolation. We saw crippling isolation. We saw increase of just separation. And then we saw this ongoing division. Isolation, separation, and division. And I'm still seeing it. And I hate it, all right? So what do you mean, Pastor D, crippling isolation? There are people that went through painful moments, and some still, and by themselves. And I can't tell you how many people's families I talked to. They weren't allowed to go into the hospital. They weren't allowed to go in the nursing homes. They weren't allowed. And some of these family members that they wanted to go see passed away. Isolation, passed away, and they couldn't be there. Just talked to a girl who used to attend YCF. She moved up to Maine, and she was not allowed to visit her mom before her mom passed away. I was like, painful. That's painful, okay? And there's some people that just are going through deep pain all by themselves. That's not good. And that's what this pandemic has, that I just keep seeing. The other thing is separation. I'm better off alone. I'm just better off alone because God only knows what will happen if you get near me. So I'm just better off alone. So we've got isolation and separation. And this last one just ticks me to no end because I just heard another story. This division, ongoing division. It's actually a mindset that other people are a threat. All right. I was talking to a family. I said, hey, are you going to get together with X, Y, and Z family members? And they said, no, we've got this stupid thing going on and they're not coming. All right. Some of them, friendships ended over this. You know, some of it, they were big, hard things, and some of them are just stupid. Right. All right. So we've got this division going on. But this is the truth about this pandemic. It actually highlighted the fact, the truth of the fact, that we have an enemy, and he comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to give you what? Life. Life more abundantly, overflowing and full. I love the Amplified, all right? So that's the good news. And God wants you to have a full life. Say, he wants me to have a full life. Yeah. He wants you to experience a full life, and the way you need to be doing that is to connect with others, all right? Get out of this isolation. Get out of this separatism. Get off of this stupid division thing, all right? So what we need to do is find your tribe. Find your tribe. I mean, Chad was just telling me he belongs to a chess club. Okay, that's a type of tribe, but how about you find your people in the body of Christ? You find your people that are believers, okay? And those are great and fun things, but find your tribe, find your people, find your crew, find whatever you want to call it, but when you find those people, they can do life with you. Everybody say life with you, all right? So we're going to talk about three things that happen when you find your tribe. Your community, all right? Three things. Actually, really, three things that you learn when you find your crew. Three things. Number one, write this down. Number one, just write it down. Don't laugh. Here I go. Number one, pass the salt. Number one, pass the salt. This is what you're going to learn when you find your community, your tribe, all right? So, how many of you, well, come on, salt makes your food taste better, doesn't it? All right, did you ever pile of mashed potatoes and they didn't salt it? What do you say? Could you please pass the salt? Please pass the salt, all right? Why? Because it makes it taste better. So salt makes food taste better. In moderation, okay. The number two thing salt does, if you mix it with water in the right proportions, salt actually has healing properties. Salt has healing properties. First time I saw this, my husband, we were married a year, and he had sort of a sinus infection, and I hear him go in the kitchen, dump salt in a cup with warm water, and then I hear the most grotesque noise. Like, what are you doing? My mom says it's good, it heals. It does. All right? So if that grossed you out, how many of you ever had a hard day? Yeah, the Cashmans all do. They snort salt waters. Okay. But it works. All right? How about Epsom salt bath? Anybody like those lavender scented? Right? Why? So like it's healing. Okay? It's healing properties. Okay? So salt has healing properties. Okay? So salt's good. It brings health and healing. All righty? Now, in the world that we live in, you are going to have some pain. Get behind me, Pastor D. How dare you say that? Bad confession. Listen, people, we have an enemy. The earth is cursed. We got people that aren't walking with Jesus. And we got sometimes we're just stupid and we end up in pain. Okay, we do it ourselves. So we are going to have some pain in our life. Pastor Dale, come on, stay with me. All right, you're going to have some pain in your life, all righty? And some of you might be facing pain right now. Some of you might be in this big, difficult situation. You might be in pain by yourself, all right? So I want to tell a story, and I never make it through the whole thing. I asked if I could tell the story. Okay, on June 19th, 2014, you guys should come up. Grayson was born. Ellen and Jared has a little boy. Grayson was born. And just weeks later, we found that Grayson had a genetic disease, Krebe. Did I say it right? I hate that word. So Grayson was born, and he had Krebe disease. Gosh, I tell people when I do weddings and funerals, I never make it through it. So here we go. A year later, Grayson went home to be with the Lord. And I'll never forget the day. I actually could tell you what I was wearing, not because it was a cool outfit, because that day was pain. I get the phone call. Ellen's in the hospital. Grayson had passed away. I am tearing down to the hospital. I go running in, and the first person I see is Jared. And he has that look on his face, and I have that look on our face. They lead us to the room, and there is Ellen with baby Grayson, who's passed away. Pain. Pain. It was painful for me. It was super painful for them. And, you know, Satan came to steal and to kill and destroy. But I realized that God brought these people into our life so we could share the pain, so we could heal together. All right, we could cry together and heal together. And who would have thought? And they'd been attending church, we were trying to figure out 5 years, something like that. And we've done life together with Aaron, Ellen and Jared and stuff. And but listen, God brought us together, all right? And there's people that are doing life alone with pain, and they have nobody that helps them heal together, all right? So it's important. And then Ellen, every year, posts pictures on Grayson's birthday. And the first year, I was like, why'd she do that? Because it still hurt my heart. My heart was healing, all right? And now I wait for those pictures because we celebrate life. And we know where Grayson is. He's in heaven, okay, and stuff like that. So you see, God brought them into a tribe, into a community, all right? And maybe you need the right people in your life. Because at some point in time, we're going to go through some pain. And it is great to share pain. It is better to share the pain and heal together, right? And walk through to the other side. So what do we have to do? We have to learn to pass the salt. To learn to share it and to heal together. Otherwise, I talk to people that haven't done that, and they are still reliving that pain, and it just gets worser and worser, all right? So, everybody say, learn to pass the salt. Amen. And guys, that's what that woman did. She was in pain. That woman, the sinful woman, she shared her pain. Who did she share her pain with? She shared it all over Jesus. And Jesus was there for it, and Jesus was there with her. So if you're here today and you are experiencing pain in your life, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will help you while you share your pain, and he'll help you heal. But it's best also to have a tribe. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. So God wants you to heal your pain, right? The Bible says that he is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. I have lived some brokenhearted days and spirits are crushed, and I tell you what, it was easier to pass the salt and share it and heal with my people, with you people. Amen. All right. Now, the Bible does tell us that one day there'll be no tears and there'll be no sorrow and there'll be no pain and there'll be no disease and we're just going to have this goodness of God. But here's the deal. Until you get to heaven, you're going to have some pain in your life. You're going to have some hurt in your life. All right. And you need a community to help heal together, to help heal. Just this past week, I called somebody about something that just really hurt my heart, and I shared it, and we prayed together, we shared the story, and I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. So everybody say, you got to learn to pass the salt. Amen. All right, the next one I'm not going to cry with, okay? That one just, psh. Okay, number two. Okay, things you learn when you find your community, your tribe, all right? Here you go. You learn to taste the difference. You learn to taste the difference, all right? Taste the difference. You learn to really, really gain perspective as you taste difference, all right? Now, it is good to hang out with people that are maybe in the same stage of your life, okay? I would hang out with people that all had little kids because then my little kids didn't drive them nuts because they all had little kids. It was great to hang out with people that had the same stage of life I am. And it was great to when we were single because you had kids. You had to go to bed early. Singles, we were up at 2 o'clock in the morning. All right, so it's great to have people that are similar to you. But here's the deal. Life's better when you mix it up. Yeah, life is better when you mix it up, okay? It's better when you bring other people into your life that are different. Everybody say different. Yeah, how about bring other people into your life that are different? They live differently. They look differently. They even have different thoughts than me. You know what it does? It mixes it up. It makes your life better. It does. How many of you got some different people in your life that you go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. So life is better when you have mix it up and different kind of people in your life, all right? So Pastor Sherry, she loves to venture into all kinds of food from all over the world. I'm barely starting on some of this. I mean, I just now put pepper on my food, okay? That hot stuff, all right? But Sherry, you know, you say we're going to have African food or Thai food or Indian food. She loves to mix it up. The spicier, the better, all right? Listen, not food now, but when you have different people in your life, it spices up your life. It actually gives you different perspectives. And you could be in this little narrow box, okay? Just pepper. That's all I do, all right? That's a narrow box. But how about you include different people in your life with different perspectives and you taste the difference? Because it'll make you better. It'll make you stronger. Amen. Praise God, Pastor D. Ever say better and stronger? Right now on the planet, in the culture that we live in, that it can feel like if you're different, you're a threat to my life. If you don't agree with me, then you're against me. And if you don't support me, you hate me. That's what's going on in the world. Come on. This past year, you saw all that ugly, all right? But here's the deal. We're the body of Christ, and that's not the truth, all right? You're a believer. That's not the truth, okay? Turn over to 1 Peter 3:8. 1 Peter 3:8. The Bible says that the church, the believers, that's us, you and me, we're supposed to embrace different. Okay? Love them. All right? 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, by the way, Peter is talking to people that know Jesus. He's not talking to the world that don't know Jesus. Okay? So he says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brother love, tender-hearted, and a humble mind. And I like the Passion Version. It says, now this is the goal. Live in harmony with one another, believers, okay? Demonstrate affectionate love, sympathy, kindness towards other believers, okay? So praise God. Difference doesn't make division. Differences make us stronger. Because I start to see, and I start to understand, and I start to empathize, and I start to have a humbleness in my life. You're different. That's cool, all right? Praise the Lord. Go back to Luke chapter 7, verse 47. I'm going to read this to you. Praise God. We need to do life with people who are different, that have a different perspective, have a different understanding. Praise God, because your life will be better. Otherwise, okay, don't say that, Pastor D. All right, verse 47. Okay, Pastor D. Verse 47. Jesus is talking about the woman, the sinful woman, and he's explaining this to Simon, the Pharisee. She has been forgiven of all her many sins. This is why she has shown me extravagant love. So Jesus brings this revelation to the Pharisee. He brings a revelation and he explains why this woman who is different, why she did what she did. And Simon's like, oh, I get it. She's been forgiven a lot. That's why she did something different, all right? Praise God. So when you have a different perspective, you will change and you will taste. And it's good to have different. Everybody say it's good to be different. It's good to have different people in your life. You know, if you just hang with the same people all the time, you know, if you're goofy, you're just going to continue to be goofy with a goofy club. Uh-huh. So you need different people in your life. Praise God. Let me tell you a story about perspective. My youngest kid is an ER nurse in an inner city hospital in Kansas or Missouri. They're both on the same river. And she had to work Thanksgiving. So we called, and then she was going to work the next day. So she called me. She didn't have to go until 10:30, so she called me. And we're talking about the kids and this and that. And I said, so how was it on Thanksgiving Day in the ER? Was it crazy? She goes, it was just a slow, steady crazy. Wasn't too bad. And she says, Mom, but you'll never guess what happened. I said, oh, what happened? She says, there's this gentleman, old gentleman, looking really rough old gentleman, and he was from Harlem. And the nurses said, all the other nurses said, oh, he's rough. And Cassie's like, all right, I'll go deal with him. So she goes into his room, and he starts to talk, and Cassie says, Ma, sounds like Uncle Pat. So my brother lived rough, and he's a North Jersey boy, okay? And she's just brought the good perspective on somebody different. So she tells, so she gets talking to him. She goes, Mom, he's rough, he's smelly, he's old, and, you know, all that. But he started talking, and she says, oh, I just love listening to him. And he said, you know, I used to be a drug addict for many, many, many years. And then I got my life cleaned up, and then I would go into schools and tell kids the dangers of drugs. He was homeless, and, you know, and really what happened is everybody was judging him because he was different. And nobody asked about his story. And he wasn't there because he was on drugs, right? All right. And Cassie really started with the judge when she walked in there, and that it all changed. So, guys, you're going to run into different people. We're not going to judge them. Go hear their story, change your perspective, and love. Amen. Get some water here. All right. You know, this world is so divided right now. You name it, it's divided. And how about if we need a unified church of people that will love one another, right? Just love one another. Love one another. John 13:35 says, by this everybody will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. love one another. We need to love one another, right? So, one, you need to find your group, your community, your tribe, all right? And then you need to say, pass the salt. Share your pain and heal together. And then you need to taste the differences in people because it'll change your perspective and your door. You'll get out of this narrow box, okay? And here's our last one. Last one is savor the flavor. Savor the flavor. I think I did that over the pecan pie this week. Savor the flavor, all right? But so now you're meeting with other believers, people of like precious faith, Christians, you're meeting with them, you're breaking bread together, okay? And when that happens, you're just unified, even though some of you are like this and like that. We're together with other believers, and we're in the presence of God, and guess what happens? This peace comes along that. The peace of God comes in on that. Peace will start come when you gather together and you're unified and you're just, so what if you're a little squirrely over here? You should see my squirrely over here. We come together, all right? And what happens is the peace comes in, okay? A peace that tastes so good. And Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How many of you have heard that? Taste and see the Lord is good. And the last part says, how blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Guys, the world wants you to worry. The world wants you to be in fear. The world wants you to be angry with one another. The world wants you to freak out, stressed out, and just get out, all right? And the enemy, he just wants you to stay hidden. He wants you to stay isolated. But here's the thing. When you share your pain and you heal together, and then you're in the middle of you're sharing together this life together, and you're being squeezed, you know what? You're still going to have peace. Why? Because I've shared this with you, and I know you got my back and you got my front, and you're praying for me and you're grabbing me out of this dark place and you're doing life together with me. I'm going to have peace. Everybody say peace. Peace is a good thing. One more scripture, John chapter 14, verse 47. Peace that passes all understanding. This is what Jesus says. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. All right? So this is what happened to this story. This story, we got a woman and she is in pain. She decides to share her pain. All right? And then we've got this Pharisee. And he listens to Jesus about this woman, and he changes his perspective. He totally changes his perspective about this whole thing, all right? And Jesus says to her, go in peace. Go in peace, all right? And peace is a good thing. Even in when everything's flying, when it's really hard out there, it is good to stay in peace. Amen? So we've got three different characters. And I'm pretty sure you can relate to all of them or one of them at one time or another. Like maybe the Pharisee. The Pharisee's like, I got it all together. I've been following the rules. Listen, I know all my scriptures. I listen to the Bible app constantly. Bing! I just listen to that, all right? But maybe that kind of person, maybe you're real judgy of other people. All right, it's a thing I work on. I wrestle with that a lot because, you know, I just see people for the outside, and the Lord's really helping me look at people and stop judging them. Stop judging them. So maybe you're like that sinful woman, and you've messed up. Anybody messed up? I have messed up. All right, and maybe you know you've messed up. You know everybody knows you messed up, and you know you need Jesus. Well, today's a good day to get free. All right. Today is a great day to get free. But, you know, the answer for something like that, I'm telling you, the key is you need to find a tribe. You need to find a community, okay? And this is a good place. By the way, this house, YCF, we welcome the Pharisees and the sinful women, okay? Because guess what? I'm a sinner at times, okay? You are, we are, and that's why we need a Savior, all right? And some people mask it. Listen, we're all going through stuff. Everybody's going through stuff. Everybody's got, if not, you're in heaven. Boom, on the ground, right? So we're all going through stuff. So we just welcome everybody, all right? And we welcome them so that we can share their pain, we can heal together, and we can go to the next and the next and the next, okay? And, and for some of you, I'm telling you, this church is a good place to find a community. This place is a good place to find a tribe of people. I have gotten to know people before I was upstairs up here, okay, working in children's ministry. I'd be on different teams. And I'll never forget the first, I was placed with a team of this girl, and I'm kind of, you know, no words how my personality is, but she was like, woo, woo, and I was like, what is with her? So I was placed with her to do Sunday night children's ministry, and she come, and I'm like, come on, girl, just get, okay. She was wrapped differently than me, but she was in my tribe. And I started to see I needed a little of this. And she needed a little of this, okay? We changed our perspective. We came better together, all right? So praise God. Some of you just, join a team, all right? And the other part is start attending church regularly. I love y'all that just float in once a month. You're not going to know the team. You're not going to know a tribe. And, you know, on the outside, you might be judging us. And some days, you know, it's okay. But come and join. Come and join. Praise God. And one more way to really experience the power. And there's a power when we're together. There's a power when we're unified. There's a power when we just join in a team. Is one of the easiest ways is a grow group. Every time I have a grow group, I hear of one. They just tell me how much they love one another. One group just told me they're not shutting down. And I always say, you need to shut down from Thanksgiving till January because everybody's life's busy. And they're like, I'm not listening to you, Pastor D, because we're having fun. All right? So back from Eric and Joe days, they just had this amazing group. And Eric and Joe started that group when they were in college. So for like almost 10 years, they had this group, and they never shut down. They didn't follow my directions. But everybody that went to that group, I just give advice. Yeah, right, Pastor D. Okay, but grow groups are fun, and they're easy, all right? So we are going to relaunch groups. Some of us shut them down because it's that time of year, okay? But we relaunch in January, February. We give you till February to get your act together back again on routine. And we're going to launch some more grow groups if you'd like to host one. That just means clean your bathroom, clean the table, invite some people over, throw some pretzels down and some glasses of water. That's how easy it is. And grow together and develop a team and a tribe where they, and listen, I have walked into groups where I just go, I'm on the worst day this happened, my da 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 da. And they just come alongside. And we heal together, we get stronger together. Until they kick me out the door, I'm good. All right? Grow groups are good. How many would say grow groups are good? Amen. Praise God. All right. Jesus came to give you life and life to the fullness. And a really good way to have a full life is to experience in a community and a team and a tribe. Amen. Jesus, rice and beans. Really good. Amen. So let's pray. Close your eyes. Maybe you're here today and you just got some pain in your life. You're going through a situation and you're doing it by yourself. Well, I'll tell you what, today's a good day to break free and let Jesus just be who Jesus is for your life. And maybe you're here and you need some new perspective in your life. You're just kind of in this little box by yourself and everything just looks negative outside of it. And I'm telling you what, Jesus will help you grow in your perspective when you become a part of a community. Or maybe you're here and you're just like life is just blasting you all over. The job, you got a spouse, it's just things got bad and there's just work is just chaotic because it's just the season and there's no peace in your life. How about you let somebody come in, first the Lord Jesus, and maybe find a team that'll help you walk through these places that look like they're no peace, all right? So if you're here today and you need peace in your life, maybe you're here and you just fess up. I need a better perspective about my life and people in my life. Or maybe you're here and you're just carrying this pain all by yourself. I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray for you. All right. Everybody just, you know, still just being really still. Father, right now, we welcome the Holy Spirit. He's called the Comforter and the Healer. And Jesus, you came to heal the broken hearts. And right now, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you heal broken hearts.